not just Sunday morning, but every day of the week. And you know what? Later on today, when you leave, you might going to have to find something else to focus on about God. And right before you go to bed, you might going to have to find something else about God to focus on. And then tomorrow morning, you may not remember the message, but the Holy Spirit in you is going to start to reveal it again to you. And then again, you're going to have to remind yourself once again who you are in Christ Jesus. The Son of God came to earth and became the Son of Man so that the Son of Man could become the sons of God. Yes. There is an exchange that has taken place in our lives. You are no longer who you used to be. And if you will continually keep your mind in the place that thinks, man, I just can't, I just won't, it's not a possibility, then you've forgotten who you are. And so the word today is to again remind us that we have received something far greater than just ourselves. We're not going through this world alone. We're not in this by ourselves. We have a victory that's above all victories. We fight from victory, not for victory. We're already in a place of seated with in heavenly places. The kingdom of God is already here and within you. Everywhere you go, you move in the power of Christ Jesus who lives in you. Everywhere you go. Visit the local establishments. Go to the local restaurants. Go to the local businesses. Because where you go, favor follows. Right. Test that. Right. Test it. Test it. You walk into a restaurant and it's empty. You walk in, sit down, you're seated, you get served your food, and before you leave, it's filled with people. Why? Because favor follows you where you go. There's a business that's not doing very good, but it's a local business, and you want our local businesses to succeed. You walk in kingdom power. Serve that local business. Go in, buy something, and watch them prosper through it. Why? Because there's a praying church out there that's praying for the local businesses, and there's a body of Christ that moves in the power of God. You bring the kingdom of God where you go. Things change. Put it to practice and test it. Test it, and then come back with a testimony and say, you know what, man, Pastor Mike, I was listening to you, and I was going to test it. And I went out there, and I wanted to see what would happen, and all of a sudden it broke out. All of a sudden there was people everywhere. All of a sudden favor came upon the business. Why? Because favor follows you. You're a part of the kingdom. Last week I talked about Firepower Part 2, Kingdom Fire. This week it's Firepower Part 3, Kingdom Power. Recapping kingdom fire. Kingdom fire is sanctification. It's a purification. It's the thing that goes into you when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the fire of God that goes into you and burns out all of the old you. All of the junk of you as being born with a corruptible spirit has now been made incorruptible. The old is gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17, behold, the new has come. You guys with me? You guys with me? That was kingdom fire. But fire power, you cannot separate. The two come together. So when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, you receive the power of God to live in you. And this isn't some mystical thing where all of a sudden you start soaring above the clouds and you're seeing shadows and different things like that. I'm talking about the power of God that lives in you that changes you from who you used to be. You're no longer the same. Do not. Remember the other day when I brought the basket up here and I said, some people have God in their basket. They're in the box. But you also put yourself in that box. So let's flip the script. This is no longer putting God in a box or a basket, but this is now you. You see, before you got saved, you have yourself in here. You've got boundaries. You've got areas that you can't go outside of because you're stuck in the humanness of who you are. Maybe you were raised and you were told you're nothing and worthless. And your box is, I'm this human being trying to figure out my purpose in life and I'm hopeless and helpless and worthless. But then you get saved. Then the kingdom of God comes. The Holy Ghost comes into you. And now no longer you have to change your thinking. The box, this basket, is not your life. Your life is far greater than this, far exceeding than this. It has no end. Amen. You set the standard. If you want more, then go get more for crying out loud. Because you have the Spirit of God that lives in you. I like the excitement. Give me another. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. You preached that last night? That's how we do that. Every time. That is the exchange, man. Don't sell yourself short. This is not in my notes. We're just flowing. It must have been a overflow from last night there, man. An overflow. So youth, you're hearing it for the second time. Amen? So Acts 1, 7, and 8. In your notes, the handout that you received is two-sided. And so there are scriptures on there, or open the Word of God. And it says, "And he, being Jesus, said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power." Now I want to point something out here real quick. We receive power, okay, but we are not God himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We receive the Spirit of God that lives in us, which I like to say makes us one-third God. But God himself has the fullness of the power. And what we desire and ask for, he will give to us. See, I don't want to hear, there's theology out there that says, gifts are for certain people. Only certain people can receive gifts, and God's going to give them out as he discerns. And that scripture says that. But scripture also says, you have not because you ask not. And so I'm saying, if you don't have the gift of prophecy or prophesying, then ask God for that gift. If you don't have a word of knowledge or wisdom, or you don't have any discernment, ask God for that gift. If you can't speak in tongues, ask God for that gift. If you want interpretation of tongues, ask God for that gift. The thing is don't sell yourself short, because then you are all of a sudden putting yourself back in the box. And don't put yourself in the box as a believer. The church could be the most powerful force on this planet. The church, the Christian church, could be the most powerful force on this planet. And someday will be the most powerful force. But when believers set themselves short, they sell themselves short, then all of a sudden, you're only going to go to the pastor to have it done because you don't believe you can do it yourself. You're going to take everything to somebody who you think is more spiritual than you, not realizing that you got the fire of God in you. You just need to fan it a little bit. You know what? I'm going to start doing, Pastor Weldon? Next time somebody comes to me with a problem, I'm just going to say, did you fan the flame yet? That's going to be my new counseling method. Did you fan the flame yet? Because if you haven't fanned the flame, because you see, the Holy Ghost that lives in me is the same one that lives in you. The same way I can preach the same scenario or something that he preached last night is because we share the same spirit. We share the same spirit. Every single one of us share the same spirit. That's why what was said today after worship, a lot of you may have thought similar or certain things, because it says when we come together, we all have a word. The thing is not all of us step out. And why do not all of us step out? Because we put ourselves in the box. We put ourselves in the box that enables us to not step out. But you see, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power. And that power comes with boldness. So that, my gosh, listen, guys, if we can't talk in front of brothers and sisters who love each other, if we can't praise and worship in front of brothers and sisters who love each other, how are we going to make Jesus famous outside of here? When we leave, our mission starts. This is a celebration time where we all come together and get a little crazy for Jesus. But when we leave, that's when the mission starts. If you're afraid to say Jesus in the workplace because you think you're going to get persecuted, say Jesus in the workplace, because persecutions will come. That's just how it is. But do not think for one minute that God will not be there to protect you. He will deliver you from it. However it may be, I don't know. But don't be shy through the process. Amen? Amen? Verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and of Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now to recap a little bit from last week, the word receive If you guys remember, those that you listened that weren't here, sieve is that old word that means get or have. And the word re is the prefix to the word that means back, again, again, and again. Okay? So when it says you will receive power, meaning you will get back again what you used to have before the fall of Adam and Eve. It's just taking you back. You see, Jesus came to take us back to the original part of our relationship with God. Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that very cool? That is so cool. I think it's cool. So you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. Luke 4:1, talking about Jesus. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being full of the Holy Ghost. Being full of the Holy. He did not go into battle empty. He didn't go partially filled. He didn't go a quarter full. He went full of the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you receive the fullness of Christ living in you. Fullness of the Anointed One living in you. Fullness of the Holy Ghost living in you. It is through the process of life and its circumstances that all of a sudden it starts to dwindle down. But it's important to fan the flame to get back to the fullness that you once had. It's like the believer that comes up, they give their heart to the Lord, they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're on fire for God, and the reason they came to God is because they were missing something. They were having a challenge in their life. I see it over and over and over. Maybe some of you listening on Facebook have been there. Maybe some of you here have been there. I see it over and over again. Somebody has an issue. They come. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. They start being connected. They're on fire for God. The problem they were dealing with goes away, and so do they. All of a sudden, they fade away from church life. They fade away from reading the Word. They fade away, and they slowly go back into the backslide. They slowly go back into the way of life that they used to live. The difference is the Holy Ghost hasn't left them. What the problem is they haven't remembered or learned that they have to fan the flame that's in them so that they can get fired back up. So part of my job, part of Pastor Weldon's job, the worship team, is to keep you on fire for God, to help you fan the flame. Come on. That's why I said new counseling method is going to be, did you fan the flame first? Did you fan the flame? And then I'm going to ask you, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Because that's where the power is. More than just the salvation, the saving grace of God, but the power of God. And so Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led in by the Spirit into the wilderness. The other key point to this is Jesus was led. Jesus didn't do the leading. He didn't go blindly. You see, Jesus was full of power and followed the leading of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anybody ever feel like they've got this unction? Like, man, I really feel like the Lord is telling me to do this. Anybody ever get that feeling? And then, is anybody ever not done it? Yeah, well, here's the deal. The Lord was leading you. But it's up to you to put one foot in front of the other and go. He's a gentleman. He's not going to make you. It's the same with the gifts. He's not going to make you prophesy. He's not going to make you speak in tongues. He's not going to make you use godly wisdom. He's not going to make you do that. You need to desire it. You need to ask for it. And you need to exercise it. You need to get out of the box. We're changing the title of the message. Get out of the basket. Led into the wilderness. And then, in the wilderness, if you know the story, you can read it in Matthew 4, Luke 4. In the wilderness, he is tested and tempted and in a fight with Satan. And Jesus comes out victorious, full of the Holy Ghost, led into battle by the Holy Ghost, led into battle by the Holy Ghost. He should not fear, right? Tested, tempted, comes out victorious, verse 14 and 15. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He was full of the power, or he was full of the Spirit, after the testing and trials returned in the power of the Holy Ghost because he exercised, you got to get this? He exercised the fullness of God that was in him. Yep. Do you see, a lot of times we get full of the Holy Ghost, but we never exercise what's in us, and so we lack power. Does it make sense? See, that makes sense. But when you exercise what you have and what you know, then you're walking in the power of God. And so he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, bringing glory or being gloried by all. You see, one of the first things he did coming out of the wilderness and being full of power is he spoke the word. So part of being and having kingdom power is being able and bold to speak God's word, not being afraid of it. And some of you may think, well, man, I haven't read my Bible in a while. Well, I'm here to tell you the Holy Spirit is here to instruct you and lead you. The Holy Spirit will help you through the process. The Holy Spirit will bring something back that maybe you heard in a Sunday school sermon 15 years ago and bring it back to your remembrance. That is how the Holy Ghost works in your life. That, and then when you're able to speak it out, that's kingdom power. So, we say there's power in the name Jesus. There's also power in the Word. You see what I'm saying? And the Word, who became flesh, dwelt among us and is now in us, and that Word is power that lives in you. Make sense? Okay. I'm just trying to bring some clarity. Because when a lot of times when you think of the power of God, you think, man, I'm going to lay hands on the sick. They're going to be healed. I'm going to cast out demons. They're going to leave. I'm going to raise the dead. That is all part of kingdom power. But just being able to speak his word forth is kingdom power. Yep. And there's a lot of Christians that won't speak his word forth. You become pursed-lipped, sewn-lipped, not saying anything about Jesus and living like hell the rest of the week. That's not kingdom power. Kingdom power is being able to speak it forth. So Jesus began to preach. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, Acts 2:4, a parallel to Luke 4:1. They were filled. Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus was full. The disciples were filled. Filled to the top. Jesus was full. The disciples were filled. And then, Acts 2:14, mirroring Luke 4:14 and 15. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. Filled and then spoke. Full and bold. Full and bold, kingdom power. Full and bold is kingdom power. And you can read on from there, from those verses, and see. But Peter laid out, man, the gospel message. Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, was raised from the dead, and he was bold. And what happened? 3,000 people were added to the church that day. The grace of God broke forth. People understood the power of the Holy Ghost and God living in them, and things started to change there in that region. As they continued to move on, they continued to change. John 16:13-15. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, everybody say the Spirit of truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he, everybody say he's the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth. This is kingdom power. Remember, Jesus in Luke 4:1 was led by the Spirit. Are you with me? And now in John 16:13, he will guide you into all truth. So if you don't know what the truth is, then you need to seek the Spirit of God, because he's going to lead you into the truth. Yes. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're confused, you need to seek God, because the Spirit will lead you into truth. If you hear a lie long enough, it becomes truth to you. But if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can discern, you can have wisdom in what is not and what is. Amen. You see, I believe that I'm not going to stand up here and be deceived because I've received the power of God. If I have received the power of God, then I cannot be deceived by the world. See, somebody can't come up to me and tell me that killing babies is a right thing. You can't do it. Because I'm not deceived, because I've received. Who's received? You received? Have you received? You received, you fool, you filled? Power. For he shall not speak of himself. The Spirit isn't speaking of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. So the Holy Spirit is going to speak what he hears from the Lord and give it to you. So those of you that maybe have a little bit of fear about saying Jesus or talking about God or evangelizing or whatever the case may be or praying, listen, the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say. It's a faithful saying. You need to trust it. You need to trust it. It's a faithful saying. He will give you what you need. And he will show you things to come. Well, I can't prophesy. I don't have the gift of prophecy. I think Scripture right now is telling us that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. Isn't that saying that in John 16, 13, 15? The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Only to a certain few. You see, say, I want that to be me. I want that to be me. I want to have wisdom about the things to come. There's a whole lot of darkness out there right now, guys. Amen. There's a whole lot of junk going on. I want discernment. I want godly wisdom. I want to know in my spirit about things to come. And Lord, if I be wrong, correct me. And he will. And then if I'm full of the Spirit and I was wrong, I'll be humble enough to say I was wrong. Right? But that's the difference between someone filled with kingdom power and someone living in the world. Someone living in the world isn't going to admit when they're wrong. They're going to declare it was somebody else's fault. They won't take responsibility for their actions. They'll blame somebody else. It'll be like Adam. Remember when Adam fell? He lost the Spirit of God at that point. Do you hear me? And he blamed Eve. It's that woman you gave me. And Eve, not filled with the Spirit because she was deceived by Satan, it was the serpent. Do you see? But when you're full of God's power, that's when humility will come. That's when you will love others. You see, kingdom power is love beyond love that you had before you were saved. It gives you the ability to see people in a different light. It gives you the ability, because the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit isn't a thing or a mist or a shadow or a fog. The Holy Spirit is a person that came to live in you. And the Holy Spirit now sees. When I'm praying, Lord, may we see the way you see. May we hear the way you hear. May we speak the way you speak. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak and see and hear through me. Because the person of God in spirit form lives in us. We give the Spirit of God a body to move and do things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay. It's very important to understand these things. And he shall glorify me, verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine. The Holy Spirit will receive everything that Jesus is. So the Holy Spirit that lives in you is the exact replication of Jesus Christ himself. And he shall show it unto you. Listen, if you haven't seen that you're a child of God, maybe you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to see the kingdom power in you so that you know who you are in Christ. Verse 15, and all things that the Father hath are mine. All things. Everybody say all things. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine, and I shall show it unto you. Anybody ever met a boring Christian? Somebody's like, yeah, me. No, I'm just, listen. I mean, we should be the most excited people on earth. We're kingdom livers, man. We're movers and shakers. We should be doing it. Yeah! Yeah! Woo! What's wrong with you? I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Right? When's the last time you shouted out? You know? When's the last time you shouted out and it wasn't because you stubbed your toe or hit your thumb with a hammer? And then you probably said something you shouldn't have shouted out. But there's something about bringing it up from the gut. There's something about bringing forth that, I call it a victory cry. I call it a victory shout, man. I call it it's like, got this, man. I got this. Because I ain't alone. Preach yourself happy. I'm just saying. Boring Christian, 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. God is telling us not to hang out with the boring Christian. Now, I'm throwing that word out there, but here's the definition. This means that somebody that is merely practicing religion without power or spiritual life. So the religious folks out there, guys, you got to get full of the Holy Ghost. You got to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, because it's not about a religion. That's having a form of godliness but denying its power. It's about having a relationship. You see, you can sit in a pew 7 days a week, 24 hours a day if you want. That doesn't give you the power. Your relationship with God gives you the power. That's where the change takes place. That's where you get born again. That's where you become on fire for God. So if you feel like maybe you're a boring Christian, you need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You need to receive the fire and the kingdom power. Hallelujah. Right, raise a hallelujah. Yes. Thank you. We got a hallelujah in the corner. Can I get a second one? Hallelujah. A third, a fourth, hallelujah. Yes. So I take us back here to the ending, the beginning of Scripture to kind of just lay out just a quick thing. We're talking about the kingdom of God. It comes with so many precious, beautiful things. But if you don't know where you came from, maybe you'll never even understand where you're at now. And so I go to Genesis 3, 14 and 15. And this was a revelation to me. This is profound to me, hopefully to you. And it says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, we'll say Satan, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. And this is how God is. At this point, God is speaking a curse over Adam and Eve and everyone who fell, all right? So he starts with the serpent, and he says, because of what you've done, you're cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and the dust thou shalt eat all the days of your life. Verse 15 is the most interesting verse. It is such a cool verse. Verse 15 says, in the middle of a curse, in the middle of God speaking a curse, he says, he kind of flips the script, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. Again, between you and the woman, I'll put enmity. And between your seed and her seed, because her seed, it shall bruise your head, and it shall bruise his heel. Right here at the very fall of mankind, the very first speaking form of love and grace is laid out. Right at the curse, God still in his love says, but there will be coming someone that is going to be born of a woman. Amen. And he is going to bruise your head. Amen. It was the very first speaking, preaching message of Jesus Christ. Right there, prophecy. God spoke it forth right there in the beginning, that at the fall, there's going to be a way out. Yeah, I don't think you heard what I said. At the fall, there's still going to be a way out. And he gave us this way out, but here's the deal. The way out isn't so that we could just be saved. The way out is so that we, a whole army, will live. that we will have our dry bones alive again, that we will be born again in the Spirit, that we will live and not die, we will have eternal life, and we will bring the kingdom of God to earth and walk in His divine power. That is what that says in Mike's layman terms. Come on, that's pretty cool. The first glimpse of God's love and grace for His creation after the fall. Right from the get-go, there's a way out. And Jesus has come, and He has given us the very thing to overcome the enemy. We do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. We're placed in a place of victory. We are His children. Amen? Amen. And so I close with this scripture in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And this is a prayer that Paul is speaking. And he's speaking this prayer unto believers that they would have an understanding. And he says, "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the church said, Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. We'll close in final prayer. Father, we can't do this without You. Father, it is through You that we have the fullness. It is through You that we embark on this journey known as a walk with God in the kingdom. Father, I thank You that You've given us a way out. But not only a way out, Lord, You've given us power to make it through the valley. You've given us a Spirit that will speak to us and share with us and teach us and guide us, lead us on that right path. You have filled us with Your love. You have filled us with wisdom and knowledge. Father, we are a grateful people and we love You. Father, if there be anyone who has never been filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, I pray that they would just receive it now in Jesus' name. That they would say, "Thank You, God." That they would come to You with an open heart. That they would open their mouths and say, "I love You, Lord. Forgive me. I have sinned, but You make me right, and I thank You for that." Father, because of You, we have a right relationship. Father, we bind the spirit of religion right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and I loose relationship. Spirit, You lead us in truth. You lead us in the way we should go. Father, I thank You that the spirit of confusion is bound and the spirit of truth is loosed. Father, may Your Holy Spirit glorify You within ourselves. May we love You all the days of our lives, and may we go out victorious as we spread the word that Jesus, You are famous among our hearts and among the church, in Jesus' glorious name. All in agreement said, Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed week.